I wanted to start just by focusing in on the perspective that I'm coming from. So the task of this panel is to provide additional comments on the Paris Accord, and my perspective is that of a human rights advocate. I work with a human rights clinical seminar at Yale Law School and teach human rights at the university. So I'm going to talk very briefly about how a human rights framework is, I think, relevant to the issues identified in the Paris Accord, and mention what I see as a few of the benefits and risks of that might be associated with using a human rights discourse to talk about the relationship between consumers and creators. Initially, I just wanted to mention briefly what I mean by human rights. There's a lot of ways to define it, but generally, I think of it along three related dimensions. It's a set of rights that everyone has by virtue of being human. It's about the minimum freedoms that people need to live lives with autonomy and dignity. And it's about legal rules that place restraints on the ways that states treat those within their jurisdictions. So the key is that there's sort of universal minimums. Human rights are relevant, I think, to the relationship between consumers and creators that's talked about in the Paris Accord in four ways. First of all, human rights are preconditions. They're the things that are necessary to ensure that people are able to participate in cultural life and to profit from their work. So, for example, we talked a lot about the fact that the ability of creators to maintain an adequate standard of living is necessary to ensure their ability to create works and therefore to profit from them. Human rights are also means to other rights. The issues we've been discussing might have a positive or a negative effect on the fulfillment of rights. So, for example, we've talked about research and development. Ensuring that R&D is done on neglected diseases is critical in ensuring the right to health. There might be limits on rights. Another issue that's come up is the fact that tracking downloads, we want to be careful about that because that could have a negative impact on privacy. And the fourth way I want to suggest that human rights are relevant to these issues is as ends in and of themselves, which is indicated by the theme of between one and two. These rights are already articulated in legal documents, human rights documents, including the Universal Declaration and the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. And there are other rights, including the rights of free expression and non-discrimination that are at stake. I wanted to talk a little bit, very briefly, about what it means about the right to participate in culture. Dr. Lateef in the very first panel talked a little bit about 27.2, the right of authors to profit from their work. And I wanted to say I agree with him that it's critical to distinguish between the rights of authors and the rights of intellectual property holders. In terms of the right to participate, the right to participate hasn't enjoyed the same kind of international attention that's been given to other rights. And I think this is a very promising avenue for discussion and one that I think a discussion that I'd like to continue either in the question and answer period or even individually afterwards. Because it could be a very expansive concept. Briefly, some of the people who have looked at this have said that the right to participate includes things like the freedom to create and contribute to culture, the freedom to choose what culture and cultural life to participate in, the freedom to disseminate cultural works, the freedom to cooperate internationally, and the right to participate in the definition, preparation, and implementation of policies on culture. So that's a procedural right that I think is critical and part of the transparency that the Paris Accord stands for. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. concerned about staying within my 5 minutes. I've got a minute left or two. Well, then a little bit slower here. I wanted to highlight just a few of what I think are the risks and benefits of using a human rights language. First, the language of rights, I think, provides significant